Welcome to the Chain Effect Podcast, where a physical therapist and a dietitian married with two kids juggle the struggle of running a business, raising a family, and prioritizing our own health, all while trying to have as much fun as possible.
We're your hosts, Taylor Pope, Doctor of Physical Therapy, and
Caroline Pope, Registered Dietitian.
Together, we own and operate a health facility, bringing together physical therapists, dietitians, personal trainers, and active recovery services to create what we call the Chain Effect. Today, we're talking about some practical strategies for healthy eating for children. Some of these are things that we do in our own house, and some of these are things that Caroline really works with a lot of our clients to do. And before we get into that, we had a moment the other night.
Yeah, it was amazing. We were in the kitchen prepping dinner and we got both kids involved. And Bennett decided he wanted to do the salad. He's been really into salads lately and wanted to chop everything with his kid's safety knife. And he was over there doing that. And then you had to go out and check the grill for the salmon that was on the grill. And then you had him saute the green beans, stirring. And he's in there on his chair stirring. And he's like, "Mommy, come help me do this. I gotta finish chopping my salad." And then meanwhile, I had Tali start setting the table, and it was just helpful. It was peaceful. They weren't wrestling on the carpet where we couldn't see them. And it was a glimpse into, wow, all these strategies that we've done since they were babies is starting. We can see glimpses of it working.
Yeah. And it was only
not every night.
It was a glimmer. It was a glimmer. And so some of these strategies, you know, we're going to go into, you know, maybe you need to start them pretty early, but it's never too late. And the first one is having productive and plentiful conversations about food. And I think we get so busy to where we just can view meals as something that has to get done. And so we're rushing through it. But in reality, it can be a great time for us to connect and discuss some of the most important things that we do every day, which is nourish our bodies.
Right. It's what we fuel our bodies with. It's like gas in the gas tank. If we're cars and we're running on fumes, we need to teach kids that, you know, that's not okay. If we need to teach them like what helps them not have a crash in their blood sugar. And so some easy topics to get started with could be just the colors of the foods with the youngest kids. What color is your food? Did you know that these colors do different things for your bodies? And it is cool. It's kind of like a hint from nature that the different colored fruits and vegetables, each color serves a different purpose. So like reds, you could think about our red fruits and vegetables. It actually lowers the phytonutrients in those foods, lower cancer risk. They can help with memory, heart health. So you can think red for heart. And then we know.
Is that like antioxidants?
Yep. Yep. Okay. And so, you know, that's going to fight against cancer risk. There's different vitamins and minerals, but orange foods, you know, our sweet potatoes, carrots, bell peppers, things like that. Those help with our eyesight. They got the beta carotene in them. They also boost our immunity and reduce cancer risk. So there's antioxidants in there as well. And so each color is cool to learn about. And you could even have a chart up in your kitchen explaining those things.
And that reminds me, like we used to do with Bennett, right? I'd pretend I was, when I was trying to get him to eat his carrots, I just stare out the window or the sweet potato. I just stare out the window and act like I'm looking at something super
like
far away.
You can see something in the dark.
And I'm like, "Oh yeah, you see that out there?" And he's like, "No, see what?" And I'm like, "Well, yeah, you may have to eat your carrots to see what I'm seeing." And then
you that vitamin A.
Then he's just scarfing them down. That's so funny.
Yeah. So that's an easy place to start for the younger kids, how they serve our bodies, like the different colors, how they serve our bodies. And also the primary traits of certain foods. So the big three, the main three macronutrients, protein, fats, and carbohydrates, what those do for their body. So you could talk to kids about if it's a protein rich food, how it helps build muscle. Ooh, let me see your muscles. We do that a lot with our kids. Carbs give us quicker energy and fuel. And that's the number one source for our brain. And if you don't know which food is highest, like what it's highest in between protein, fats, and carbohydrates, an easy way to find out is turn around. If it does have a label, turn it around and look at what is it highest in. So if you're looking at nuts, a container of nuts, well, that's going to be highest in fat compared to carbs or protein. Mm-hmm. But most foods are a combination of the three, but there's always one that's a little bit higher. And so you could teach kids about what those certain things do for our body. And I remember when Bennett was really little, maybe two, we started talking about eggs. He's always been an egg lover, obsessed with eggs, could eat them every day. And I talk about how the protein is in the white of the egg. The egg white has the protein. And then the yolk, the yellow part, has the fat and flavor. And so he used to kind of remember that.
And sometimes that works beautifully. And then other times, like when I tried to get him to eat a beet, and I was talking about, like, do you want to get in the purple poop club? And he really didn't want to eat this beet, but he wanted to be in the purple poop club really bad. So he tried it, and I felt bad because I was videotaping it, and he basically gagged.
He was gagging, but he's a pleaser, so he's like swallowing it down, gagging. Like, you don't have to eat that. Yeah, you don't have to eat it. Mine. Don't worry.
Thank you for trying it.
And so those are good conversation starters around food. And it could be, it didn't have to be at the dinner table. You're talking about this stuff. It could be throughout the day. Maybe you're prepping breakfast. Maybe you're making the kids lunches, maybe for snack. Ooh, we're having, you know, this apple with this cheese because cheese is giving us some protein and fat to stabilize our, you know, our energy and our mood. And then the apple is giving us good vitamins and minerals and fiber, and is more of a carbohydrate. And another thing we've been talking about more recently, I think as our oldest gets older, is the difference in whole foods versus boxed and packaged foods, more processed foods and more whole foods.
Right. And just almost thinking about it, like, what's the main ingredient or single ingredient, and trying to, you know, talk about lots of foods as being, hey, this is a single ingredient food. So it is what it is. It's not, it doesn't have a lot of added things to it, trying to preserve it or make it taste better. And therefore, it's going to be healthier for us.
Mm-hmm. And of course, talking about where food comes from is a great conversation. And, you know, you don't have to have a garden, but if you have a garden, you know, get the kids involved, and then you can talk about, oh, remember we planted these and they're growing, and, you know, they're much more likely to try it. But having those conversations, where do you think this is grown, on a tree? Or from the ground? Is it underground? Is it a root vegetable, you think? And so then they can think about, oh, this is a real food that comes from our earth.
Yeah. And so what's the second tip? The second tip is prioritizing sitting down together.
Right? Yeah.
Taking that time. I mean,
it seems so simple, but, you know, as we get away from this, you know, you have this picturesque, like, 50s family eating breakfast together, dinner together every day. And we've just, with all of our activities and how rushed our society is, so many things to do all the time. I feel like we just have gotten away from this. But if you can sit down together, it makes such a big difference in kids and adults' relationships with food. I see it in my patients now, like those who maybe didn't have the best relationship with food growing up. And it could have been a variety of reasons, but maybe they were rushed through their meals. Maybe they were eating in front of the TV by themselves while the parents had a separate dinner. Maybe they were eating in the car on the way to soccer practice, all these things. But it's so important to actually have those kids mimic the parents eating, seeing, oh, they're eating that, and they're not nervous to try that, or they're not scared to try that. They're eating that. See how the speed of eating.
Yeah, modeling it, right?
So the kids can mimic it and learn from the adults how to eat, sipping water between meals and having those conversations about your day and making it a very positive experience.
It seems so easy too to just, you know, your kids, you know what your kids are going to go for every time. And it just seems so easy to be that short order cook. But I think one of the things that you and I have prioritized, at least from an early age, is we're just going to give them what we have, like give them what we're making for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to make one meal, we're going to sit it down in front of them. And then if they eat it, great. You know, we're hoping that they try it. But if not, at the end of the meal, we'll finally give in and give them something else just to make sure that they've gotten enough food.
Yeah. But try to prevent being a short order cook. And that is easier said than done. I mean, we're not perfect, especially at lunches and different meals, but
at least
dinner,
one time a day.
Yeah. At dinner though, we really, really try to prevent being a short order cook and making them a separate meal, and also feeding them first so that we can relax and have our later dinner. I mean, when our first was an infant, we would still eat later, of course, when he wasn't having solid foods, but then we really started implementing eating at the table, and it's really, really helpful. And of course builds family connection. They want to be connected to us. So if we're rushing around all day, busy around the house, doing work while they're home, doing the laundry, doing the dishes, it's like kind of the one time that we can really sit and talk all together.
Yeah. No devices, just really mm-hmm. modeling that good behavior of, you know, taking your time.
No phones on the table. That's a big one. That's like, I think Magnolia, they created a restaurant down in Texas and they put little leather, things on the wall where everyone could put their phones into at a restaurant. I thought that was brilliant.
Because there's nothing worse than going to a restaurant these days and just looking around at the family night out and there's four people at the table all on their phones. I know.
It's so sad. And it's heartbreaking. I mean,
we do it. You know, we look at, you know, you want to check something, you get a text message, you want to check something. But yeah, it's just like, we got to get back to.
Yeah. Put the phones in a bag and, you know, set it on the counter when you're eating a meal. But I do think, being role models for your kids, how to act, how to pace yourself. So the dinner table, drinking water and having those conversations really sets them up well for the rest of their life. A third strategy is just keep offering. This is probably what a lot of people hear all the time, but exposure, 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 just keep offering. If you are patient, one day will surprise you and that'll be the special day and they will decide to try something that you've been offering 30 times with, and they look at you with disgust. But you know, the research, it takes 8 to 12 exposures. That was kind of the big, that's always been in the research for someone to accept the food and actually try it. And I think now it's up to 15, but then you hear about these moms. I mean, it could be 100 exposures before the kid tries it. Mm-hmm. And that's still a win if you keep offering it.
And along with that, it's trying to model the language around those experiences. When the kid says, you know, I don't like that, maybe you're changing that to, oh, you don't like it today, or you don't like it yet, or you mm-hmm. don't like it prepared that way. Or, you know, you don't have to love it, but can you just give it one taste?
Yeah. And, would you like to try it with a dipping sauce? I mean, kids love dips. So especially when they're young, that could be a way to encourage them to try it different ways. And small amounts is important. So kids get overwhelmed. So trying not to have a huge portion on their plate of any food, but one small amount and see if they try it. Don't say anything positive about it. Don't say anything negative about it. Just see if they try it. And then they might like it. So offering it in different ways, offering it different times a day, you know, that is huge.
And you like to make a game. I don't know if this really falls into it, but what is the, your mommy no look game?
Oh yeah. Like, I think I heard this from Simon maybe says. Dr. Becky or something, but yeah, the one that I heard from who knows where that I started a few months ago really does help. If they have maybe a vegetable on their plate, they aren't excited about, I say, I'm just going to close my eyes and, you know, I bet the boys will not try a bite of broccoli. They will not. I'm just going to close my eyes and see what happens. And I cover my face and then they both go, look, and they stuff their fork in their mouth. Look, look, look. And I'm like, oh, you ate that whole tree. Yeah. Wow. And then mommy keep doing
no
that.
Look. Mommy no look. Look.
And then Simon Says is Simon another says good one. Works. And not to force them to eat everything, but just, you know, if they're distracted at the table, which our boys are very wild and have a lot of energy. And if they're distracted and just not eating, I might do a game of Simon Says, like, all right, Simon Says, take a sip of water. Simon Says, take a bite of food. And they get really excited about that.
I remember, sometimes it's easy to get discouraged too, because, you know, when Bennett was a little baby, he would crush salmon. I mean, he would eat like an entire salmon fillet. And we're like, oh my gosh, we're going to be, you know, buying like 2 pounds of salmon.
His brain is going to be so smart.
Yeah. And we always talk about that. Yeah. And so, you know, we were so hopeful. And then he, I don't know, how old was he? Maybe like 2 and a half. And he's like,
the time nope, kids just get pickier.
Not going to eat it. Not going to eat it. And there was nothing we could do to get him to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
And then even more recently, I don't know when this happened, but we offered him some smoked salmon. Like
mm-hmm. maybe, you know, 6 months ago, he started getting interested in that.
And then all of a sudden he's crushing the smoked salmon.
You know what it was? I think one day I was making it for lunch or something. And he asked me, is that ham? I want some of that ham. And I didn't say it wasn't ham, but I said, okay, you want to try a bite of this? And he said, yeah. And he stuffed it in his mouth and then he kept wanting it. And I said, this is lox. This is actually salmon.
Yeah. I gave it a different name almost too.
Yeah.
And then after that, he had sushi, right? And he was eating some sushi.
Yeah, I used to never want to try sushi.
And now he's back on salmon. And so, mm-hmm. you know, I think that's just like the journey of trying things, trying it a different way, giving it a different name almost, and just mm-hmm. seeing if there's a way that you can get him to just like,
or a different way of preparation. So a big thing, you know, people could also try is different cooking vegetables, different ways. They have so many different tastes and textures. If you're roasting them, if you're sauteing them, steaming them. I mean, you think about adults, like there's a lot of adults that don't like certain vegetables because they've never had them prepared different ways. Right. Maybe they've just had them canned or they've just had them steamed. And so if you can get creative in how you're preparing things and just keep offering it and offer them a tiny amount so that you're not wasting a lot of food, save the rest for, you know, whoever will eat it the next day. But,
I mean, we were sort of guilty of that too, right? I mean, we like Brussels sprouts, but I remember a time when I don't think we were really eating that much okra.
Yeah.
And then we went to, and that's one of those things, like a lot of people have it fried and they're mm-hmm. like, I'll eat okra if it's fried. And then I think we had it just sauteed with some garlic, a really nice way. And we're like, oh my gosh, I love this. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden,
cut a different way.
Yeah, cut a different way. And all of a sudden we're crushing the okra. And I feel like a lot of those vegetables just get a bad rap, and they get a bad rap on television too, right? Yeah. Like some of the cartoons are like, eat your Brussels sprouts. And you're like,
yeah,
oh,
like it's a chore.
Brussels sprouts must be the most disgusting thing ever. And
yeah. And we started growing okra in our garden. And then that summer, Bennett was crushing bowls of sauteed okra. Mm-hmm. So another proud parent moment. And then I think he's back off of it, but that's okay. We keep having a rotation of vegetables, fruits, meats.
It'll be back in the garden this summer.
Yeah. And we'll have a lot of things to do with it. And then the fourth strategy is getting kids involved in the process. This is kind of what happened the other night. Like Bennett was cooking, and Taylor, you've been really good at getting him involved in the kitchen. You know, for breakfast, cooking his own breakfast, his own eggs now, watching. We have a gas stove, so we got to watch. But kids can do a lot of simple stuff like beating eggs, cracking the eggs. And I know, you know, baking with kids around the holidays, or that mom thought where it's like, oh, this sounds so fun, this will be such a good experience. And then it's complete torture, at least for me, because of the flour and the mess and everything. And they might get eggshells in the bowl. But it will pay off, and it doesn't have to be often, but just getting them exposed and getting them involved in the process of cooking. And they love it. Usually they love being involved.
Right. And it's also just the practice, right? I mean, if you just have them do it around the holidays, then they're not going to be any good at it. But if, you know, the first five times Bennett was cracking his eggs for scrambled eggs, he's getting them everywhere. His thumbs are like poking through the yolks. There's tons of shells
in there. Wash your hands, wash your hands.
Exactly. And he's, you know, of course he wipes it right on his pants every single time. But, you know, now we can get him to where he's, you know, cracking the egg in a little circle and kind of pulling it apart. And he's just gotten a little bit more practice.
They can make their own sandwiches for lunch, or spread their peanut butter on toast in the morning, or spread their butter on a pancake, you know, for breakfast. And there's lots of things they can do. And then if you get the kids' knives, there are so many options for softer vegetables they can cut. Some salad vegetables are a little tough, but cucumbers, zucchini, fruits. Tali loves, our 2-year-old loves cutting pears because they're soft when they're ripe. And so getting them a little cutting board, getting them some knives.
You can't walk away though, because I walked away the other night and of course, like immediately he had the big knife.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, he had the big knife. He put down his knife and grabbed the big knife immediately. And it's like, dude, you're gonna cut your fingers off.
And you could even ask them, you know, what they want to help you cook, or maybe meal ideas for that week. I mean, if you want them to have a better chance of eating, maybe you get them involved in, you know, what do you want for breakfast? Okay, I'll make sure to get those at the store. Do you want lox this week? Okay, we're going to get some of that at the store for breakfast. So I think getting kids involved in the process, and think about, you know, if our boys are in middle school and they're helping us cook dinner and they like it, if they still enjoy it or they like it, then we could have them cook half the time or help us meal prep, and it's going to save us a lot of time in the future.
And one of my clients was telling me, we don't have this, but there is a like one burner induction stove with some special pans if you're worried about your kids like burning themselves.
Smart.
But, you know, these pans, they don't stay hot or the surface doesn't stay
hot. Only when the pan is on it.
Only when the pan is on there. And then it, you know, cools down pretty quick. I'm assuming the pan takes a little bit of time, but this is a way that you don't have to worry about, you know, things catching on fire, for instance, because it's when the pan is on there and it's a special pan that you're going to get the heat. And I think that's also a good way.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have another client who was telling me that, you know, her daughter has been cooking, you know, basically since like 6 years old, making her own breakfast. Mm. And now they're totally into making dinners and helping with dinner.
And they're more self-reliant in the morning, right, which can be helpful for parents. Like, okay, go and make your own breakfast. And then that is the, you know, that really helps the morning chaos. So we're going to have special guest Bennett Pope come in. Talk to us a little bit more about his healthy eating journey and what he likes.
And we're back with a special guest, Bennett Pope. Bennett, how old are you?
5.
Bennett, tell us, what do you think it means to eat healthy?
Eat good foods.
Mm-hmm. Eat good foods? That's true. And what do you think are some good foods to eat?
Broccoli.
Mm-hmm.
Carrots. Sweet potato. Cucumbers.
Let's ask a different question. Do you remember what we always talk about? We always talk about three of the types of nutrients that we can get, and each food has one of those nutrients. Do you remember what those are?
Protein, fat, carbohydrates.
Yeah.
That's right.
Awesome.
And which of those build muscle and grows your muscles?
Protein.
Yeah.
That's right. And you have always been a protein lover. What are some foods that you love that we say builds your muscles? What do you eat every day for breakfast that helps build your muscles?
Eggs.
Yep. And what else? What at dinner and lunch do you like that builds your muscles?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to say it. Say it with your chest, though. Say it with your chest.
Steak.
Awesome. All right, so steak has protein. Anything else that you like to eat? What's your favorite food?
Hot wings.
That's right. That has protein, right? Lots of protein in there. What does that also have a lot of? I'm not giving you the answer. You just
spiciness.
Say, yeah, spiciness. That's
right.
Awesome.
And some fat too.
And it does have
And
some
what
fat.
Foods help you see really far or helps your eyesight?
Sweet potato and carrots.
Awesome.
Yeah, those are things that you've been having recently that do. Now you also have some sweet things you like. What are your favorite sweet things?
Candy.
And does candy give us long energy or quick energy?
Quick energy.
That's right. That's why we can't have a lot of it at one time, because it might make us go, ooh, and tank and crash. And it might upset our stomach, but it's okay to have every now and then.
Yeah. And, you know, do you have candy almost every day?
No.
Okay, so Bennett, tell me what you love about food.
I love the taste of food.
Uh-huh.
And I love the smell of food.
Mm-hmm.
And I love making the food.
Uh-huh.
And I love eating the food.
Uh-huh. Do you find that when you help make something, it makes you want to eat it more?
Yes.
Why is that, do you think?
Because I make it and I want to eat it.
Ah. Okay, well, Bennett, thank you for coming on the podcast and talking to us a little bit about food. We're going to bring you back at some point and ask you some more questions.
So, yeah. I had a fun time right here and talking about the podcast.
Oh, that's awesome. Well,
thanks
we're really
for coming
glad.
On,
we're
bud.
Really glad you did.
We love you and we love how much you're getting involved in the kitchen and in the garden.
I love being a part of the podcast.
Oh.
Oh, well, okay. Well, maybe we'll make
this
you a regular guest.
This is my first
guest.
Time being here.
Awesome.
And I love it, love it, love it, love it, love it.
Well, thank you so much. And we look forward to hearing more of your sweet little voice next
time. All right.
Time.
We hope everyone found some practical strategies today for healthy eating. And we'll catch you on the flip side.
Check you later.
I love my parents getting me to come in the podcast.
We love you too.
I love you.
I love you more.
Love you more.
I love you more. Infinity plus 1 billion.
Infinity plus infinity times infinity to the exponential infinity power. I'm not your